prophet to reveal and to say what God was doing through the Sabbath day. He says, moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbaths. And God has given us those days, the holy days, as well as this day we now meet on, to be a sign between me and them, to be significant of a relationship. Significant of a relationship between God and man. And in any relationship, there must be, by necessity to make it a relationship, an intercourse, a giving and a taking, a communion of, a oneness with God and man. And he said, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, evidence that I am doing something with them. And they are doing something with me, that we are involved in a joint project, if you will. A sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Eternal. God's revealing himself through the Sabbath day to us. That sanctifies them. That sets them apart for a very, very special reason. And we only, uniquely so, have the understanding of what that sanctifying is, of how we're going to be made different and how we are different, and what God is accomplishing, because he indeed is sanctifying us. He is setting us apart from the rest of humanity. And he eventually will set apart all of humanity. This church does not believe that we are the only ones who will attain salvation. God will give salvation to the majority of human beings. And he's going to do it, not exclusively, but mainly through one tool, and that's the Sabbath day. Because he's using that to finish his creation, as we're going to see more and more. The Sabbath was in God's plan, I feel, from the very beginning. I mean, from the very thought of creating other gods, from the very thought of us being in the kingdom of God, I feel the Sabbath was in the plan. Because God had to get us from point A to point Z, from being flesh in the plan to being spirit. And I feel that the Sabbath day from the very beginning was to be a vehicle to get us there. Let's go to the book of Titus. In Titus, the first chapter, if you will, in verse 1. As we see how the Sabbath was in God's plan from the very beginning, when they sat down before the world was, from the very beginning. Hey, this speaker or this microphone is a little bit high. I'm getting a lot of reverberation here. Just turn it down, if you will, just a tiny bit. Not much, but just a tiny bit. Okay, now, book of Titus. In the first chapter, it says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and according to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. And that's what we hope for, and that's what God desires for us, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I mean, it was in his mind to give it to us before anything was created. And he goes on to say, but hath in due times, that throughout time, in fact, manifested his word through preaching. Now, when throughout time, in due times, when God has intervened to work with human beings, when has that word been manifested to us? On what day has that word been manifested to us? On the third day? Fourth? Fifth? First? Throughout time, it has been in due time on the Sabbath day that plan of through preaching, through the word of God, has been made manifest, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to preach, just as I preach to you on the Sabbath day. And God intended that the Sabbath day be used throughout time to help you to develop into being God, to getting to his kingdom. This very day is a vehicle towards eternal life. It is a vital key, a vital tool that God has been using. And that word is to be preached on the Sabbath day. Paul went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day to preach. It was the custom of Jesus Christ, as his manner was, it says in Luke 4, on the Sabbath day to go and to learn. Now, I'm not here purposed today to prove to you which day is the Sabbath. If you have a doubt about that, then you write for the booklet, which day is the New Testament Sabbath. But most of you proved that, so I'm approaching it from a different point of view. I want to show you the uniqueness of the Sabbath and what God is doing with this day, and on it, what he is trying to accomplish, and how our understanding is unique, and how this is and should be a proof to you that this is the Church of God. So the Sabbath was indeed in the plan from the beginning. So let's go to the book of beginnings, which is the book of Genesis, of course, when God manifested his, or the recreation of this earth. Genesis 1, we see that God, step by step, purposefully, on each day, did something. On the first day, he separated, you know, the morning from the evening, and it became the first day, it says in verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God, step by step, went purposely, each day, creating or recreating a specified thing. It wasn't done haphazardly. The second day, he divided the waters that were above from the waters that were below. The third day, he created plants and trees and herbs. The fourth day, he let the stars and the moon show through. The fifth day, he created the fowl and the fish and so forth. And the Sabbath was there also. Let's go to the 26th verse of chapter 1. As God, as he goes along, he increases his complexity of creation. You know, he sort of saves the best for the last. He saves the complex. He goes from the simple to the complex. And on the sixth day, he comes to the most complex so far in his creation. On verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all the creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Upon that sixth day, God created man. Now, when you look back at everything God created, okay, whether we're talking about the mammals, the fish, the flowers, all of it was complete. Everything that God created heretofore to the sixth day was complete. Everything. God created man incomplete. Horse is complete. Horse will always be a horse. A fig tree will always be a fig tree. But a man will not always be a man. And on this day, God created the vehicle, designed the tool, if you will, to make possible the completion of man. Because man was created physical, in the image of God. But man also has a mind that God gave him, that has spiritual qualities and characteristics, and therefore spiritual needs. All of man's physical needs can be accomplished and satisfied by himself, with all the physical things that God has surrounded him with. Everything man can be satisfied with food and shelter and clothing, and everything physical except that spiritual need, which God also put there. Something that was a void. That sort of proverbial scratch, you know, down there in the middle of the back that you can't quite get to. And God made it that way for man to yearn and to desire something. To desire to be fulfilled is a common thing that a person who is frustrated and depressed and discouraged will state, I just don't feel fulfilled. That's right. God intended it that way. So that we would seek him. That we would search him out, because it is with him that lies the fulfillment. So God here in verse 26 creates man on the sixth day, his only incomplete job. The only thing God left half done. In all of the things that he's done, there is perfection. Nothing half done. But this job with us is half done. It's half finished. And then we come to the seventh day. Before we do that, let's go to Job, because Job realized that he was half finished. You realize that? Job made that statement. I didn't plan to do that, but let's turn there. I think it's in Job 14. Job 14 and verse 14. Job realized that he was sort of half done, you know, half finished. He realized through his sufferings and trials that there was something else greater than his great prosperity. Because, see, Job had everything. Everything physical to satisfy him. He was complete physically. But there was a void. There was a need. And Job realized that need. And he realized that God was not through with him. In verse 14 of chapter 14, Job said and asked the question, if a man die, will he live again? And he says, all my appointed time. I'm going to wait till my change comes because I know I'm not complete. He says, you're going to call and I'll answer you. And you're going to have a desire to the work of your hands. In other words, Job is saying, I know God is not through with me. That he yet has a desire for me to complete. And Job was looking forward to that. He knew that God yet had a desire for the work of his hands. And he was going to wait till that change came. Paul also talked about that. Before we go back to Genesis, you just hold your place in Genesis. I want to explore a little bit what Paul had to say about us also. About how we are incomplete. That we are the half-done job of God. The only thing that he half did, in a sense, for the analogy's sake. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Because he talks a lot about the fact that we need to become complete. And then we're going to look at how God purposed to complete us through the Sabbath day. In 1 Corinthians 15, and let's begin in verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, an air-breathing creature who had certain physical needs to be completed or, you know, needs to be satisfied, which could be satisfied. But there were also certain spiritual needs that man could not accomplish and satisfy of and by himself. He was made a living soul, a physical man. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Now, there has only been one man that has been completed off this assembly line. Only one. And that was Jesus Christ. He came half done. He came just as a little sweet baby boy. Physical. In all of his ways. He had the Spirit of God. But it was through his death and resurrection that he became complete. It was through him keeping the Sabbath day all of his life and learning the things of God and letting God shape and form him and finish him that he was able to come forth from the dead of God's calling as God had a desire, as Job knew would happen for him one day for the work of his hands. And God brought Jesus Christ forth and he became a quickening spirit, a complete being. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual. No. You're not born complete. You're not born with an immortal soul, as the world teaches. You're just not. You see, with that concept, you are complete. You're complete physically and you're complete spiritually. You'll live forever, right? With an immortal soul. No need to seek and desire that immortality from God because you're going to live, you know, whether it be in hell or heaven, as they say, forever anyway. But it doesn't make sense because it's not true. Because God said, the soul that sins, it shall die, half complete. But God desires for us to be complete totally. Howbeit, that which was first was not spiritual, but that which is natural, just the physical. And afterward, the second phase, we're only in phase one of the project man. The second phase, that which is spiritual. It says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. Because he is the one that has fulfilled that. And we should follow in his steps to also be completed. And this earthy, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, me and you. And as the heavenly, such are they which are heavenly. God the Father and Jesus Christ, which we aspire to be like. And we have borne the image of the earthly right now. But he says, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's the goal. That's the completion of phase two. And as I will show you, it is going to be through the keeping of the Sabbath that God is going to finish phase two. He is going to have through the Sabbath day his will performed in finishing man. Now let's look at the Sabbath. I've talked about it being a vehicle, that it was supposed to do something. It's supposed to finish us. A tool, one of the tools in God's hands. Let's look at the Sabbath in Genesis 2nd chapter. In verse 2 it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them perfectly." Everything physical on this earth was finished. It cannot be said of man. But it says everything and the host of them, the heavens and the earth were finished, but not man. I'm going to prove that to you, as we've already seen from Job, as we've already seen from the Apostle Paul. In verse 2, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made." Verse 2 is a very, very important verse, and I want to go back and look at it a little bit. I want to show you something perhaps that you didn't realize before about the Sabbath. And about verse 2, it says, "On the seventh day, God ended his work." Physical work, that is. I want to examine the first word, work. In the Hebrew, the word is Malachi. M-A-L-A-K-A-H. Malachi. From the root word, Malak. M-A-L-A-K. It is basically the same word for the prophet Malachi. Basically the same word for the name of the prophet Malachi. And this one word means teacher. It means messenger. God in the Hebrew, some of the meaning is lost in the English, but in the Hebrew, God is telling us that the Sabbath, God ended his work to teach us something, to deliver a message. Not just to stop working, but to stop working so that a message could be delivered. The word work here means messenger. Not work, messenger. It has a double meaning. Which he had made. The Sabbath was to be an instrument in God's hands. And he stopped working, not because he was tired. No, not at all. Because God is spirit, isn't he? And it's illogical for a spirit being to become tired. But God stopped the physical creation to begin the first step towards the spiritual creation. Because he had a message to deliver to man today, the seventh day of the week. And he goes on to say, "And God blessed the seventh day, and he set it apart, sanctified it from every other day of the week, because that in it he had rested from all of his work, which God had created to make." It says made. But in the Hebrew, it's translated to make. God rested from all of his labor that he had created to make. He had rested from making man, which he had created to make. Now, that may sound illogical, what I'm saying, but that's the way it is in the Hebrew. God rested on the Sabbath day. He stopped his work that he had made so that he could make something else. That's what it's saying. It should read, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work," physically that is, "which God created to make, to do." He had something else yet to make, something else yet to do, and he wanted to sort of put everything physical aside so that he could be about his other business, on the spiritual side, to make man. Now, we stop working, yes, for the physical benefits, to rest, and God wants that. But we also stop working to put aside our physical work so that we can be about God's spiritual work of creation with ourselves. God concentrating on us today as on no other day, to make and to finish his creation, that spiritual part of it. The Sabbath is a key to eternal life. The Sabbath is a tool to eternal life. On that first Sabbath day, I feel God, no doubt, instructed man and began to finish his creation spiritually. In the 16th verse, of chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying," he teaches man here. You know, it is on the Sabbath day that we come to hear the commandments of God. It is on the Sabbath day we pray that God will inspire whoever is speaking to speak to us, to command us, to show us the way to go. So it is on this day, as it was perhaps almost 6,000 years ago, that God instructed man and commanded him and taught him on the Sabbath day, that first Sabbath day after he was created. And he said, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, amongst them be the tree of life. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die." Now, this is not all that God no doubt said. You know, that only takes, 10 seconds or less to state. And I'm sure God, this being the physical creation that it was, a magnificent one, spent a lot more time talking with what he had made, instructing Adam and Eve in the way that they should go, explaining to them the symbolism of the tree of life, which he said they could freely eat of, that it was symbolic of eternal life, that it was the way to live, that it was symbolic of his spirit that would lead them in that right direction, in the way of life that was right and good, that would produce eternal life. And God used, I am sure, on that Sabbath day, that very seventh day, that day as a vehicle, as a tool to begin, as a sculptor would on his clay, to begin to carve with a knife of the Word of God. And is not the Word of God likened to a two-edged sword? And I'm sure he began to carve them and to shape them spiritually into what he wanted them to be. And it was going to take several Sabbaths and perhaps several years to accomplish that. Just as it is in our lives. It just doesn't happen on one Sabbath, but it takes Sabbath after Sabbath of coming and learning and growing. Christ said something also astounding about the Sabbath day in Mark, the second chapter, in verse 27. Let's look at that also. Because it was, of course, Jesus Christ who knelt down in the mud and the clay and formed and fashioned man physically. And it was that same one who we call Jesus Christ who began to form and to fashion man spiritually on the first Sabbath day. So let's look to him and see what he has to say about the Sabbath and its purpose and how our approach should be towards it and how we should appreciate it for its uniqueness and what God is trying to show us this day. Mark the second chapter in verse 27. And he said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man." God didn't need it. The animals didn't need it. The birds and the bees, the trees didn't need it. They were complete. But the Sabbath was made for man, to finish man, to create man in the image of God spiritually, and not man for the Sabbath. You do not serve the Sabbath day. And if you approach it that way, you're pretty miserable, no doubt. The Sabbath was made to serve you. It was made to form and fashion and create you. Made to work on you. Not you on it. As God says, don't work on the Sabbath. Double meaning. Verse 28. Somebody sleep this morning. I got to do better with these jokes, huh? Verse 28. "Therefore the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath," because he's the one that created it. And he knows what the shape of it should be and what the design of it should be and the purpose of it should be. To work on man and not man to work on the Sabbath. To form and fashion man. The whole church and everything comes to a focal point today. Your spiritual life through the week comes to a focal point, or it should today. The whole purpose of the church comes to a focal point today. In the book of Ephesians in verse 4, or chapter 4, I'm sorry, it talks about the purpose of the church, the purpose of the ministry. We've read this many times. But let's look at it today, in light of today and its meaning. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And he did that for the perfecting of the saints," because we're not perfect. Man is not perfect. Man is not finished. "They were given to help
in finishing God's creation. And the most of the work is done today. This is the day that I probably put more hours in, I guess you could say, than any other day, because I start working Monday towards this day. You know, I try to start on Monday preparing for today. And I work all week getting a sermon together. Then I'll get up at maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and put the finishing touches on it. And then I'll come and preach. And probably just for one Sabbath day, as you consider the time preaching, the time spent here, and the time for the week, maybe you could say 20 hours goes into the day. And that's certainly not resting, because God has given the ministry, as it says, for the perfecting of the saints. And on the Sabbath day, God doesn't rest. God didn't rest on the Sabbath day because he was tired. He put aside the physical creation to concentrate on the spiritual work. Now, he tells you, not me, and me in a sense too, but he tells you basically not to work, to put aside the physical work, to get out of the physical things and clutter it out of your mind so you can concentrate spiritually. Now, he tells me to work today. So I don't get a chance. I have to look at it spiritually, certainly, but the physical rest I don't get, neither does God. But it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're not there yet. We're only half done. Only half done. Only half completed. And it is through this Sabbath day. Now, why does God say? And that's a good question. I talked about me working and us not working and so forth on the Sabbath. But why does God say not to work on the Sabbath day? Is it just to rest physically? Or is it a means or a vehicle or a key to a greater end? I think it is. I think he says not to do your own pleasure, not to work, not just to be hard, not let you make extra money on the Sabbath or whatever, or go fishing, or watch the Ohio and Michigan State football games, which come every Sabbath, that you yearn they would switch to Sunday or something. It's not just for that, but I think God has a greater end. Let's look at the law and see what it has to say. In Exodus 20, and perhaps we can gain a little bit different perspective of the Sabbath and its uniqueness to the church of God. In the book of Exodus 20, chapter 20, we'll see in verse 8, what really makes this day holy. In verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, why is it holy? As some people ask, what makes this day any different from Monday or Tuesday? You can keep any day, right? You can keep any day. This is what several people say, especially those who are Jehovah's Witnesses. They come and say, well, why do you keep this Sabbath day? Every day is God's day. That's right. They say, every day is God's day. That's right. He created every day. You know, he did, you know, one thing on one first day of the week, one day on thing on second, third, fourth, and fifth. God did bless every day in a sense that he did something of his work, they reason. I say, yeah, that's true. But what makes the Sabbath day holy? What makes it holy from any other day? You know what makes it holy? What God is doing on the day. Today is not holy of and by itself, but it is what God is doing today. And what God determined to do on this day. He determined in the beginning that on the seventh day, he would finish or begin the process that would be very vital and instrumental in finishing his creation of man. It is not the day that is holy, but what God is doing on this day that makes it holy. He is doing something very holy on this day, and it is on this day and on no other day. It is not on the day that he created the mammals. It is not on the day that he created the herbs and the trees. It is on the day that he set aside to create man spiritually. Physically, on the sixth day, and spiritually, on the seventh day. And verse 9 says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, just as I did. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shouldn't do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughters, anybody you might hire,
manservants, maidservants, or your cattle, not be plowing out with them, nor your stranger that is within the gates. You just not do it. The Sabbath, no physical work is to be done, but it is a day devoted to a spiritual work. Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. In Exodus 16, God also has a little bit more to say about the Sabbath. Exodus 16 and verse 22, that it is a preparation day before the Sabbath. There is a preparation day before the Sabbath. Exodus 16 and verse 22. God told them in verse 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that the Lord said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Now today you bake what you're going to bake and you boil what you're going to boil. And that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, and as Moses told them, and it didn't stink, it didn't rot as in other days when they tried to gather twice as much and there was no worm in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Now God did this for a very special reason. Not only did he want them not to work physically on the Sabbath by preparing on the sixth day, but he wanted us to realize that we must prepare. We must prepare for the kingdom of God. Just as we must prepare for the physical Sabbath or the spiritual Sabbath, we must also be preparing for the kingdom of God, which the Sabbath day is a type of, which it is a fulfillment, a picture of the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. When we are finished, this day pictures the day when we are finished. This day is also the day that is being used to finish us. And we must prepare for it. That is the spiritual significance of the sixth day. Of boiling that you're going to boil and doing all the things you're going to do on the sixth day. Now, I'm mentioning these verses because I'm going to talk about some principles and some things as people have questions about what they can and cannot do on the Sabbath. First, we must understand the spiritual principle behind it. The Sabbath is God's tool. God's tool to finish His spiritual creation. To not only have it physical, but spiritual. And today we come and learn, and we come and grow. Okay. Also, on the sixth day he says to prepare. Showing us that we must also prepare for the fulfillment of this day, the kingdom of God. In Isaiah 58, he tells us some physical things about the Sabbath day that we need to look at for a moment before we continue the spiritual significance of it at this point. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. God tells us, the prophet Isaiah, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, as God told Moses, as he looked at God symbolically in the burning bush, he said, Moses, take off your feet. Well, he said, take off your feet. Not take off your feet. See what that does to you? Just messes up your whole thing. Moses was there, right? He saw the burning bush. And God was in the burning bush. And God said, Moses, take off your shoes. Because the ground that you stand on is holy. In the same sense, God says in verse 13, if you turn away your foot from holy time by virtue of what I'm doing today. And he goes on to say, from doing your own pleasure. All right. On my holy day. Now, what does he mean from doing your own pleasure? You mean you can't have anything that brings pleasure to you on the Sabbath? No, it doesn't mean that. But he wants your mind. I'll elaborate on that a little more. But he wants our minds concentrated on the things that are of God that bring us pleasure. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's just read it right now. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable,
And so honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Now, people have many questions just about what does that really mean? You know, you can't speak your own words, you can't, you know, do this, you can't do that. What does God mean by that? So let's stop a minute and explore verse 16, verse 14, 13 a little bit. Now, we saw in Exodus 20, didn't we not, that God said that we should not work. All right? What God is referring to there is your normal labor, okay? Whatever your job is, if your job, except for the ministry, all right? If your job is a bricklayer or a carpenter, then on this day, you're not to do that. You're not to hire anybody else to do it for you, okay? You're not to send your son out to do it, but you're just not to work on this day. Okay, we saw from Exodus 16, didn't we not, that he said that we need to prepare for the day. That we don't do our normal work on the Sabbath. If you are cooking, that you don't, you know, bake 20 pies on the Sabbath. That you don't cook 30 turkeys, etc. Exaggerations. But that on the sixth day, you know, you do all the heavy cleaning and all your ironing and washing and your grocery shopping, and you prepare for the Sabbath. Because God wants you to remove all of the physical things that might clutter up that day and might cloud your focus on the spiritual, just as he did. He rested not because he was tired. He rested because he didn't want anything else to clutter up that day, because he wanted to concentrate on it spiritually. And God keeps the Sabbath today. People ask that question. Do you think that God keeps the Sabbath today? Yes, I think he does. I think he lets go all of his physical works. I don't know what he's doing physically. You know, somewhere in the universe, someplace, he may have some project going, I don't know. But he's not involved in it today. He is involved with you and I, just as he was on that first Sabbath with Adam and Eve. And he has removed all the physical things that clutter his life through the week. And today he concentrates on his people worldwide. He is here in spirit. Not because he's tired, but because he wants to concentrate on us. And like manner, he tells us that on the sixth day, you get all of the physical things done. You prepare what you're going to prepare. You get, you know, the husband's clothes and the kid's clothes. Or if you're a husband, you get the wife's clothes and the kid's clothes, whatever way you want to do it. All fixed up, shoes shined, and you prepare for it. And it's teaching us a lesson that we need to prepare spiritually for the kingdom of God, so that we will be uncluttered on the Sabbath day. We don't have to worry about whether there's the roast fixed for supper when you get home after church. That's been done on the sixth day, see? And you can concentrate on the spiritual. So some will say, well, is it all right to boil an egg on the Sabbath? Well, you know, he said, if you look at Exodus 16, basically the heavy things, the heavy boiling, the heavy roasting, the heavy baking. You know, egg, what takes 2 minutes to fry. You know, it really doesn't take that much physical. Okay? The Sabbath is to be a delight. You say, you know, I am a person that does not like to be cluttered. I cannot stand a cluttered house. I cannot relax, you know. It's like scratching your fingers on a chalkboard. You know, the fingernails. That's what it grates against me, you know. So at my house, we don't vacuum. We don't, you know, mop the floors, but we do make the beds and straighten up the dishes because I like to live in an orderly environment, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. It takes 5 minutes, you know, 2 minutes to make up your bed. Certain minor things can be done on the Sabbath. I'm not going to get in all the specifics, okay? But all of the time-consuming labor should be done on the sixth day. You should not wait till Saturday to go shopping. You should not do your business transactions on that day. We'll talk about that a little later. Your pleasure. What did he mean about not finding your own pleasure? Well, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? It is God working with us. God finishing us spiritually. Okay, then pleasure has to be looked at in that context. What does Ohio versus Michigan have to do with finishing us? What does looking at Wonder Woman on the Sabbath or on Friday night, if I don't think it comes on before the Sabbath now, but let's say in the winter and you want to see Wonder Woman, okay? What does that have to do, you must ask yourself, with God dealing with me spiritually? What does it have to do with God's creation? What does it have to do with anything? On the same token, there are things that are pleasurable that could be right on the Sabbath day. When we lived in California, used to love to go to the Arboretum. I think it's what they called it. It's a place where they have exotic plants and trees from all over the world there north of Pasadena. And after church, we would often, you know, take the kids for a walk in the Arboretum, you know, and show them exotic creations of God from all over the world. But if I were a horticulturalist and I was in the church, okay, and I said, hey, they've got this new plant in from Australia at the Arboretum, so after church, let's go down there. You know, it's all right to go to see God's creation on the Sabbath, right? Okay, but it's my job, see, and I'm using the Sabbath to go down there and check it out. You know, there's an old saying, with attitude, there's latitude. That same action, in one instance, could be right, and in the other instance, be wrong, depending on my attitude. We're talking about television. You know, things of a, let's say, a natural thing about, let's say, a National Geographic special for the kids. I think that's fine. If you can sit there and relate to them, God, to what is going on there, I think that's great. Okay, so to say you cannot look at television on the Sabbath is not true. But be sure you realize what you're watching and what you let your kids watch. That it has to be in relationship to God and His creation and what God is doing to us. Is it something that you're going to watch 6 hours on the Sabbath of television? Well, obviously, you know, that is not balanced. Obviously, even if it's about nature, you're sitting there for 6 hours, thumbing through the TV guide, finding one thing after the other just to take up the time on the Sabbath. You know, from you spending time with God and prayer and study where the emphasis should be, you know, it's just not right. On the other hand, going out to a park. Let's say it's summertime. Okay? Going out to a park, you know, packing a picnic lunch after the Sabbath. And, you know, that could be very relaxing and very enjoyable in nature. You can sit and talk with your kids about God and explain certain things to them. Or just sit and relax. You know, those are things that could make the Sabbath pleasurable. As he goes on, he talked about also making it a delight. I think too many of us make the Sabbath a bore and make the Sabbath a chore, really, when it says not to work. We make it work, you know. And we probably burn up more calories in frustration waiting for the sun to set so we can do our thing, see, than we do otherwise. Make it a delight. I think every head of household, every husband, whether you are even a wife, if she's the head of her household, the only one in the church, I think it's your responsibility, if you've got kids in the family, to make the Sabbath a delight, to make it a special day. We have our best meal on the Sabbath, okay? We wear our best clothes on the Sabbath. We make it something to look forward to, and you should do that. Make it, think and be creative of ways you can make it special. Where you do a special thing, whether, you know, once a month you take the family out for dinner. I didn't say every week, you know, but once in a while, something very special, all right? To make it a delight, going to the park or going here or there on the Sabbath that has to do with nature, has to do with God, or is relaxing. You're not going down watching the tigers and, you know, going to the circus and this or that. But things that directly have to do with what God is doing today. And there are many things you can do. I asked the kids in YLU about a year ago. I said, how many of you are having family night? You know, checking up on the parents. And I was surprised that only about 1/4 in the Detroit East Church, hands went up that at any time during the week, does the family get together, either go for a walk, something as simple as that, sit down and talk, to do anything. And especially the Sabbath can really be a real bore to the kids. Now that is a time if you have, say, oh, I got to work night shifts and I can't spend time with my kids, or when I come home I'm tired. Use the Sabbath as your family time. Use the Sabbath to sit out and play games. There are a lot of Bible games or nature games. Or just sit out and talk to your kids, and especially those of you who have teenagers. You really, at this time in their lives, need to spend a lot of time with them, getting to know them, you know. Sometimes it's profitable just to sit down and talk to your kids about your life and plans and so forth and what they want to do with their lives and how things are going with them. It's vital. I think that many of our parents waste the Sabbath and waste that as a vital opportunity to spend time with their children. So please take advantage of that. It is very, very needful in the day and age we live in. The Sabbath is not to be a bore. It is not a day of do and don'ts. But there are many things that can be done in the context of the Sabbath. It is not like my neighbor who a few weeks ago forgot to turn his central air on, okay, before the sunset. He's an Orthodox Jew. And he would not go in and flip the switch for the central air. And I was outside with my kids in the yard, the sun had set, and he says, "Could I borrow your son to come over and flip the switch on the central air?" I started to say, "Are you crazy?" You know, I didn't do that. You know, I wanted to be a good neighbor. I said, "Go ahead, Earl." And I let him go and flip the switch, because to me, flipping the switch on, you see, if they don't flip it on before sun sets, then it's got to stay off unless they can find a Gentile to do it for them. So I said, "Okay, go ahead, Earl, and do it," you know, just to be a good neighbor. Because to me, it wasn't any work on the Sabbath. And I talked to him afterwards. I told him, "You mean to tell me you can't even flip the switch?" He says, "No, can't even do that," you know. So God didn't mean the Sabbath to be like that. In other words, if they couldn't find a good Gentile close around, he had to sit in the house and sweat, you know, all night. Is that making the Sabbath a delight? You know, Christ talked about the Pharisees, how they, you know, made up these heavy burdens and yokes to be borne, which they themselves could not do, you know. God did not intend it to be that way. Not at all. Many times we have situations in the church where one mate is in the church and one mate is not. And the other mate will say, "Hey, come along with me. I want you to go someplace with me." And it'll be the Sabbath day. And many have questions about that. Well, should I go with my unconverted mate? Maybe he wants to, you know, go up north someplace and be driving on the Sabbath or halfway up. Or maybe they'll want them to go out to dinner with them on the Sabbath. Well, you know, if you're not involved in doing the work, then it's certainly fun. I mean, you could sit there and realize it's still the Sabbath day, even though you're not at church. You can still realize the purpose of the day. And there's certainly nothing wrong with just sitting riding in the car, as long as you're not doing it every Sabbath, or sitting down to a meal on the Sabbath, you know, even if it's on the Sabbath day. So there is, you know, latitude there. You know, God basically says not to work, and to make sure you know where your mind is, and to realize the purpose of the day and what God is doing on that day. Let's go on now. He says here in verse 14, he says, "Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord." I mean, if you look at the Sabbath that way and you make it a delight, and you realize what God is doing on that day, "And I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I'll feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Eternal hath spoken it." So hopefully, I know there might be some questions about do's and don'ts in the Sabbath, but ask yourself about the action or the thing you want to do. How does this relate to God and what He's doing? How does this relate to God's creation? And then view with your attitude the action through that. Ask yourself, is it all right to work? Is it working? You know, some ask, well, is it all right if I've got a pool in my backyard, if I go home and dive in on a hot summer day like today? Well, to me, it is not work, and it is relaxing, all right? And it is a physical rest day and a day for relaxation. Okay, you dive in and you lay out on one of these floats, okay, and you're relaxing for a few minutes. It's not working, it is relaxation. And you could be there meditating, you know, about the sermon or whatever. But on the other hand, to jump in the pool, you got an Olympic-sized pool, and you swim 2 miles, and you play water polo and water basketball, and boy, oh, I'm tired after I get out. Hey, that is wrong. Okay? You have to use a little common sense, which is not so common, as they say, to most people. But nevertheless, use common sense. All right? Obviously, that would be wrong. You know, to take a dip, to cool off, you know, and to jump out and go in the house and have dinner, fine, all right? But on the other hand, to stay in there all afternoon till sunsets and exasperate yourself is just wrong. Because the Sabbath is to be a day of rest and relaxation. Okay, let's go on a little bit. I skipped something that I want to go back to in verse 14. I read verse 14. And I want to concentrate on the word delight. We read that. It says, "Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord." All right? Now, The word delight, I don't have the Hebrew word, but it means to be soft and pliable. He says, if you don't find your own pleasure, and you don't speak your own words, you know, talking about this, that, or the other thing, then you're going to be pliable, because you're not going to be cluttered, your mind. And your mind is going to be open, in other words, to what God is going to have to say on that day. And He's going to be able to work with your mind on that day. And the Sabbath day is exactly meant to be that, a day that God works on us to finish His creation. And I think, as I said, God concentrates on us in our development today as in no other day. A very important psalm, Psalm 95, which is a psalm that is read during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also a feast day that pictures when we will be in the kingdom of God, when we will be finished, those in the first resurrection anyway. Psalm 95 is a psalm that was read during that period of time, and a psalm that is also read on the Sabbath day, because it talks about the Sabbath day and what God is doing and how our minds should be uncluttered from the physical, open, soft, and pliable for God to work with. Verse 1 of chapter 95, it says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That is the attitude that God wants you to approach the Sabbath with. Looking forward to it. Oh no, here come 24 hours when I can't do what I want to do. Not at all. But 24 hours when God can do what He wants with you. When God can work with your mind. When you can be relaxed and have fun with your family and turn your heart to God. So the attitude is, oh come, let us sing unto the Eternal. As we approach the Sabbath, let us come before His presence. And we do come before His presence on the Sabbath day with thanksgiving. Happy if for no other reason that you realize that today, above all the days, God is using this day as a tool to work with you, to finish you. That one Sabbath to the next, you are one step closer to be finished. One step closer to the kingdom of God. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms and singing in praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King and above all gods. A day to praise Him and look at Him and to see what we can become. I praise God because He's good and He's great. But I also praise God because that is what I'm going to be too. You know, I'm happy because He is the kind of God He is, and that one day I can be the kind of God He is. And I can be righteous and finished and complete. In His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of hills is His also. If the hills are in His hands, how much more important are you than a hill? We too are in His hands, being shaped and formed and fashioned today. And the strength of the earth, of the hills, is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. That's right. See, David is recounting the physical creation now. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Maker not only physically, but our Maker spiritually. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. He's working with us. He's concerned about us today, and the sheep of His hand. Today, not tomorrow, but today, if you will hear His voice, because it is today, the Sabbath day, that He is speaking, that He is teaching. Be teachable, He says. Listen. Come to learn. In your private Bible studies and prayer on the Sabbath, and also through services. Harden not your heart. Don't say, oh, this boring Sabbath day again. Not that approach. But a day that we're growing and learning. As in the day of provocation, as Israel did and provoked God. As in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation. They didn't approach the Sabbath right. And after the 40 years, as Mr. Armstrong has been going through the series on proving the Sabbath, how that Israel went into captivity for idolatry and Sabbath breaking, and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not be finished, should not enter into my rest." See, God's rest, it's a lot of meaning there in that verse. Israel didn't receive salvation because they disobeyed. Okay? Just didn't receive the finishing of man. The real rest will come when we're complete. God has not rested yet from the aspects of His spiritual creation. There will come a day when God can rest. Today He has to work. Today I have to work. Because we have not yet entered into the rest. But we look forward by keeping this day and let God work with us so that we can be finished and God can rest and we can rest. We can rest from sin, can rest from this physical body, and we can be changed and completed. But the tension is still there between what we have now and what we're going to become. So there's still the work that has to be done, one Sabbath after the other. And one day this Sabbath will be fulfilled completely for all of man, for everyone who's drawn breath. But today it hasn't happened. Unto whom I swear my wrath, they should not enter my rest at that time. And none of mankind except Jesus Christ has yet entered into that rest. So God has to continue to work. Did not Christ say in John 5:16 that I work and my Father works hitherto? Well, Christ was talking physically on the other days, but He was also talking spiritually on the Sabbath day, that God had to continue to work here too. Because people like you hard-hearted Pharisees who won't listen, who don't realize the purpose of the Sabbath as He told them. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Very interesting chapter about the Sabbath. Another chapter that even proves that we should keep the Sabbath day, the seventh day today. This was after Christ death and resurrection, as they say, after it was nailed to the cross. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, Paul talks quite explicitly about the Sabbath and its purpose and what God is doing today. Hebrews 4. It says, verse 1, "Let us therefore fear." And I hope today that we can, you know, make a commitment to make the Sabbath a delight, to get in line with what God is doing on the Sabbath, that maybe next Sabbath will be a better Sabbath for you and for God, because God says, "Boy, I've accomplished a lot more today through finishing up Joe Christian than I did last time." So hopefully the sermon will help you view the Sabbath and approach it a little bit better. But He says, "Let us therefore fear," and we do need to fear, "lest," it says, "a promise being left us," the kingdom of God, "of entering into His rest," I mean being completed, so that we can rest and God can rest in a sense, "any of you should come short of it." If we neglect the Sabbath, if we walk on it and we do our own pleasure and do our own thing and don't realize the purpose and get in line with it and profane it, then we might not be completed. That's what He's saying. In verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." You know, they heard the gospel. "But the word preached did not profit them." Because their minds were cluttered when they came to this day. They were still doing their own business, their own jobs. They were still thinking about their own plans and pleasures. And counting the countdown to sundown. They really weren't letting the Sabbath do its job. "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it," because they didn't have hear what even was said, and what they heard, they didn't believe and didn't follow it. "For we have believed, for we which have believed do enter into rest." You know, we're keeping the Sabbath today, Paul is saying. As he said, "As I have sworn in my wrath," from Psalm 95, "if they shall enter into my rest." Although the works were finished from the creation, from the foundation of the world. See, the physical thing, that was all completed, as he says, as I've been saying all afternoon here. But the spiritual was not. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world," when God created the physical creation. It was finished, except for the spiritual works not being completed. Now, when he uses the word rest in verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul uses the Hebrew word, or the Greek word here in the New Testament, kataposin, K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-N. And it simply means the kingdom of God, or to settle or to colonize, which the kingdom of God is a type of. Okay? So he is pointing towards the kingdom of God, as evident from the context. Verse 4, it says, and he spake, all right, in a certain place on the seventh day, not the first day, on the seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works, all except the spiritual one. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, into my kingdom, seeing therefore it remains today, because the job is not complete, we are not finished. Seeing therefore it remaineth, and will remain, as we'll see in a moment, that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Okay? They didn't believe it. Will we believe it? Will we keep God's Sabbath day? Will he let it work in our lives? Again, he limits a certain day. Not just any day, as some preach, but he limited a certain day, saying to David, or in David, Psalm 95, today after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if he had given them rest, if they had made it, if they had been completed, then would he had not afterward have spoken of another day? But the Sabbath remains because it has not been completed. There remains therefore a rest. Not katapazim, not the kingdom here, but the word is sabbatismos. There remains a Sabbath day to the people of God. Today, God's church keeps the Sabbath day. And Paul says, today there remains a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. That was after Christ. And that will be all throughout the millennium until every last human being that has ever drawn breath has qualified or disqualified himself for the kingdom of God. Then the Sabbath will, in a sense, be finished. Then it will have accomplished its purpose in finishing man. Mr. Herbert Armstrong has often used the analogy of the unfinished furniture. You know, people buy unfinished furniture. God sort of built some unfinished furniture. And now he is finishing it. Now he's putting on the stain. Now he's putting on the lacquer, the spiritual part, to prepare us to be his sons. The keeping of the Sabbath is going to be forever until man is finished, until phase two is completed. And it's the key to eternal life, and God is using it to bring us eternal life. But you know, I feel, and I may be wrong, this is Earl Williams speaking, I feel that even after all mankind is in the kingdom of God, that the Sabbath will still be kept. Now, we'll all be finished, all right? It will have served its purpose. But yet, I feel that God will still, even though we're the sons of God, we will still not be of the measure and the stature that he is. We will still be aspiring, even as children of God, to grow in the ways of the Father, to draw from all of his experiences from living an eternity. I feel we will continue to learn from him. And since God has decided that it has been the seventh day, the Sabbath, that he would teach us and that we would grow, why not continue that on throughout the world tomorrow and on through eternity? That every 7 days, all of the gods from the whole universe will converge here on earth to learn from the Father and from Jesus Christ. So that we can then go back out to wherever we are in the universe and whatever we're doing, replenished with more knowledge of how to be God. More knowledge in the ways of the Father. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. This is where I get the hint of that anyway.
That's speculation only. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. Because the context of Isaiah 66 is after Christ returns. It says in verse 1, "Thus saith the Eternal, the heaven is mine, and the earth is my footstool, and where you'll build a house for me." This is talking about humility and etc. And then he goes through the rest of the verses talking about the time when Jesus Christ will be upon the earth and God the Father. And it talks about the time of the new heavens and the new earth. And the new heavens, in verse 22 it says, verse 22, "For the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Eternal, so shall your seed and your name remain forever." Well, the new heaven and the new earth will not be until God's plan of salvation has been completed. The new heaven and the new earth will not be completed until every last human being will either be nothing or God. Okay? So in that context, we read in verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another," maybe once a month, "and even from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh," or all those who had been flesh, "were now in my kingdom that exists, shall come to worship before me, saith the Eternal." And as I said from verse 22, the context is after the new heavens and new earth. After we have all been changed. That maybe from even once a month, and then even after that, every Sabbath will come before the Eternal. "And they shall go forth," and this is after, you know, those who have been, you know, destroyed, says, "and they shall look upon the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." In other words, this is where all the wicked have been destroyed, or just ashes and worms and whatever. And we, and the majority of mankind, will be in the kingdom of God. And he says, after that time will come for one Sabbath after another to learn of the Eternal. So I also feel that perhaps the Sabbath day and its purpose will have an eternal purpose to it. That throughout eternity we will come back to the Father to learn, to grow. It is a vital tool now to produce sons of God. A vital tool to help us get from point A to Z to finish phase two. And it will be used forever, I feel. Let us look at the Sabbath that way. It is unique. It's one of the reasons I believe that this is the church of God. Because no other church understands it that way. Because it's going to lead to all humanity having a part in the creation of God themselves by being finished. Yes, we're half done now. But I tell you, I look forward to being completed. Look forward to being in the fullness and in the measure and the stature of Jesus Christ. And it's through this day, God's eternal Sabbath day, that creation is being completed.